Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing? Nice and toasty? No? It's nice and cold in here? Whatever. It's so perfect for me right now. Because you don't realize that because I got to stand in front of these lights, I'm always like sweating. I can never wear jackets or coats or all the cool stuff I have. So what I'd realize is if I freeze you guys, I'm good. So that's going to be I'm not going to do that. Oh, we actually had an issue with the building next door. It affected us, and so we've got some issues this morning. But I think we can be, like, in the Christmas spirit and be all toasty and warm and, yeah, all that good stuff. But, hey, I'll tell you what, though. I've been looking forward to this morning to celebrate with you guys. Those of you who might not know this, so the past couple of weeks we've been talking about how we want to raise $50,000, and last week was our like Christmas offering Sunday, and we actually had a couple who was going to match, you know, up to $50,000. And so I just want to tell you, oh my goodness, seriously, I mean, those of you who got the email, if you didn't get the email, here's the deal. We wanted to raise $50,000. We ended up raising initially $54,161.60. Yes, but hold on. So that was over what we wanted. But then you have to add in the 50 plus to double that. So it's what? It's $104,161.60. So awesome. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So give it up. Give it up for you guys. I just want to say this. Yeah, I just want to say this before we move on. Like, for some of you, this was sacrificially, this was a sacrifice. And so I want to say thank you for joining us. I mean, we talked about becoming us, the you and me. When we become us, we have a power to do, when we come together collectively, we can do some amazing things. So thank you so much for that. Those of you who give for the very first time, thank you so much for trusting us with this. We're going to be able to do some really incredible things. You're going to be able to see what your investment is doing this next year as we move forward. It's going to be an exciting, exciting year. We're so close to actually closing. We'll probably close in the next week on the space right next door to us, right back there for our next generation. So it's going to be awesome. And in the next couple of weeks or so, we'll be finalizing our metro location as well. So we are super, super excited. It's in the Plaza Midwood area, and so we'll give you details about it when it kind of gets finalized. But man, it's exciting what 2018 is going to do, and what's going to show us and what's going to allow us to experience together as we move in faith, because God is moving in us. So exciting, so exciting. So proud of you guys, okay? Proud of you guys. I want to move on, though, to this morning's conversation. So we start a brand new topic, as we do. We take a topic for a couple of weeks and talk about it, and we name it something. And so this next couple of weeks as we move into Christmas is this idea of unto us. And it's actually this phrase, I mean, we use it all the time, right? No one uses it. Yeah, I know that. It's actually found in Isaiah, and it's a passage of scripture that was prophesied hundreds of years, if not about 1,000 years ago, before Jesus, and that there would be a child that was going to be born, there would be a son that was given, and this person would become king and savior. And so we're going to dissect that a little bit through Christmas seasons. And so as we get into the Christmas conversation here, how many of you are fans of Christmas music? Any fans of Christmas music? Yes. I know of a volunteer right now that actually I think I'm looking at right now, right there, sir. Yeah. He has these cool AirPods. Have you seen those AirPods? You know those white things that dangle from your ears? They're cool, super cool. Yeah, he puts on Christmas music and he greets you guys. And one day I actually asked him, what's in there? And he was like, yeah, I'm playing Christmas music. And I realized that's why he's smiling all the time. Like, he's not excited that you're here. He's just happy. Inside, like, he's just happy. It's awesome. It's great. Christmas music. So if you love Christmas music, let's put you guys to a test. Let's do that. How about this? How about we talk about some? Let's play Nin that tune a little bit, okay? So let's play the first Christmas music, Christmas song. Let's see who can guess what this is. Anybody? You're like, Beach Boys, that's not a Christmas song. It's It's a band. Silver. What is it? No one knows? Yes. Next song.
City sidewalks.
Oh, that's it. That's it? Silver bells? Okay. Next song. No one knows this song? No, not the drummer boy. Yes. No, it's not Jingle Bells. Stop saying Jingle Bells. Yes, do they know it's Christmas? Hey, yes. Yes, awesome. Man, next song. Anybody know the song? Oh my gosh, it's not Jingle Bells. What? What's the name of this song? That song? Huh? One more time, all together? Awesome. Don't Stop Believing. Not a Christmas song. And not Jingle Bells. Write that down. Yeah. The reason why we're playing this and having some fun is because the big idea this morning is I want you to not stop believing. I don't know if you are in the middle of a season right now. You're like, you know what? I don't believe as I used to. The big idea this morning is I don't want you to stop believing. I don't want you to don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. You're like, what? Hold on to that Christmas tree? Nope. I want you to not stop believing. Let me ask you: Have you been a better place than you are right now? Like, when it comes to believing in God and believing in all His promises. Could it be possible that there was a time in your life that you believed God more than you do right now? I mean, I think for some of us, you know, we don't believe as we used to. I mean, it's Christmas time, it's all great and all that, but when it comes to God, you're not quite sure. You're looking at last year and you're going, I don't know if next year is going to be all that. For some of us, we have a hard time believing. For some of us, we don't need to believe. Things are going super okay. Like, they're just okay. No, there's no major drama happening, so you don't need to believe. Others of you, you really want to believe. You really want to believe. Like, you know there's something more out there and you really want to believe. And for others of us, you really need to believe. As in, you're losing it. You know that you're losing the joy that you once had. And so if this morning, if I can encourage you in any way, I want you to just remember this idea, this big thought here. It's simple, obviously, is that maybe, just maybe, this morning you're here and God wants to give you this simple phrase. Hey, don't stop believing. Hold on to the joy that you had. Hold on to the joy. Because in this season, more than any other season, it's so easy to lose our joy. Even though it's a wonderful time of the year. Even though it's wonderful because we get gifts and you have family situations and friends and parties. I mean, if you have to go to another, you know, office party, you know, you're going to, like, shoot a cat. You know, like, you're like, what? Like, I don't want to do this anymore. For some of us, we're like, just, I don't know about this whole, I don't know. Regardless, if you have to leave early, this is the big idea. God has brought you in this moment to say, hey, don't stop believing. And I don't know what you've been believing for and who you've been believing for, but if there's anything that you need to know, that is don't stop believing. Let me do this. Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into our passage of scripture as we dissect this. Lord God, we thank you so much that sometimes it's as simple as us coming together and understanding that there is this simple thought that you want us to really believe, really hold on to. And for some of us, it is a powerful thought that, God, that we do not need to stop believing, that we do not need to give up, that we do not need to think that it's over and this is as good as it gets. And so, Father, wherever people are this morning, and whatever these friends of mine are thinking, God, because everybody is unique, I pray that you give them the power some tools even today. Remind them, encourage them not to stop believing. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. So hey, if you got your Bibles, let's go into Isaiah. I'm gonna go to Isaiah chapter 9, and there are a couple of verses there, verses 2 to verse 7, and that's kind of like the big idea with this Christmas series. You know, I didn't grow up with Christmas. Those of you who might know, I'm Pakistani, I grew up in the Middle East, and so I came to faith in my, I think in my late teens, I think I was 19 or something like that, and so I don't have Christmas traditions, and sometimes it's the hardest for me to do, like, as a pastor, to do Christmas messages, because I'm like, I didn't grow up with, you know, whatever you guys grew up with. I don't have, like, this, oh, back in the, I remember grandma's house. I don't remember grandma's house, and I don't have any of those big ideas to kind of pull from. And sometimes I find myself going, what do I need to talk about? I talked to Ashley about this, my wife, and I go, I don't know what to talk about when it comes to Christmas, because Christmas is so wrapped up in tradition, right? There's so many things we just do because we do, and they feel great. And so for the next couple of weeks, what I would like to do is do what I think that we might need to look at, and that is look at Christmas in a very, not a Jewish perspective, but very much a, hey, let's put ourselves in the place of the people who were experiencing life, and they experienced the first Christmas, but they didn't even call it Christmas. What did it look like? And so that's when we find ourselves in Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet who wrote, and he wrote some pretty prophetic things. I mean, in fact, last couple of months, we've been talking about a passage, and that was prophetic as well, because Isaiah wrote that out. And it's really amazing how God uses a guy like Isaiah, and Isaiah writes this stuff down, and he has no idea that this is going to actually happen in the way it would happen. And so when we find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 9, this guy prophesies Jesus, and he prophesies the way this guy is going to be born. I mean, and there's so many details to come. So let's just do this. Let's look at verse 2. Let's start off with verse 2. Verse 2 says this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a what? Help me out. Have seen a what? A great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Now, there is a lot of backstory to this, because in verse 1, he actually talks about the regions of where these people, the people he's talking about, these people who have seen a great light, people who walked in darkness. He was not talking about spiritual darkness in one sense, or people going through a bad time. He was actually talking historically that there were regions. In fact, it was a region connected to, it was called like the way by the sea next to Galilee. And he was talking about a particular region in that geography and that history of Jewish people. He was talking about a land and a people. The reason why we don't see this is because we don't realize that the Jewish people, they have had, I mean, they have all kinds of things happen to them. I mean, when we read the scriptures, we go, oh, you know what? They were chosen people, and God told them, and Abraham, and all that. And that's all true, and God used them, and obviously Jesus came out of that lineage. It's all profound stuff. But what we don't realize is that the amount of time it took, and in that time, the amount of despair, discouragement, everything opposite of joy took place in their lives. The Jewish people, I wrote this down, this is fascinating. The amount of people, like the kinds of people who invaded them and took over them and conquered them. I mean, start off with the Assyrians, then the Babylonians, then the Persians, then the Greeks, then the Maccabees, and then the Romans. I mean, these people have been conquered again and again and again and again and again. I mean, it seems like right after their first king, you know, after David, it was good with David. And then if you know some of the history, you know that it kind of went south. And we find that these people, Jewish people, who have been promised by God, have been occupied even when Jesus shows up. That's why Jesus was crucified, because it was a Roman death. So these people were told and promised big, but at some point they stopped believing. They stopped believing in, like, this is going to happen. And then God would put, drop people like Isaiah in the midst of their history and say, hey, I see something that's going to happen in the future. And so he says, hey, people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. Now, if you take that whole phrase, what you realize is that he's talking about a northern region in Galilee, which if you connected to what when Jesus was born and where he did ministry the most, it's the same place. So Isaiah is saying, he's prophesying something that he doesn't even know. And then Jesus spends the most time, the first group of people that actually saw Jesus and realized that this was the Messiah, the group of people who got the most amount of healings and miracles and the work of Jesus was actually these same people in this region itself. So interesting how it is so, so connected. The question is, though, is what do you do when you're waiting around for so long? What do you do? So if you keep reading, it says in verse 3, it says, you have multiplied the nations and increased its joy. They rejoice, again, joy, rejoice, key word here, words here, before you, according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoils. For you have broken the staff of his burden and the staff, the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of the Midianites. So this is interesting because this whole passage would not make any sense. I mean, I've read it and you're like, I don't even know why you're reading this. It doesn't make any sense to me. These things that he is talking about, this idea of a yoke of burden, the staff of his shoulder, the rod of oppressor, and he's talking about the Midianites. These are all relevant to these people. And as he keeps talking, he says, verse 5, let me just read this to you. He says, for every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. Okay, all of this doesn't make any sense. Some of you guys are like, dude, can you just do a Christmas sermon? Like, can you just do what? Come on, man, let's talk about other things. So he says all these things, right? And then verse 6, he says this. So he moves from like the used for burning and fuel for fire. And verse 6 is this. And you guys know this one. He says, for unto us a what? Child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of his government and peace there will be no end. Now, if we just spend most of our time reading the verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, if we just read that, we'll make up our own idea of what God is saying. But if you read the backstory of what this prophet is actually saying, it opens up a world of possibilities. The prophet is really saying here that we have a history of oppression. We have a history of defeat. And he's prophesying. He's saying there will be one day a savior that will come and will save our people. And he will be king and he will be a child and he will redeem the world. He's prophesying and he doesn't even realize it. When he talks about the Midianites, he's actually referring to another passage, another time in history for the Jewish people, because there was a Gideon army. If you don't remember the Gideon army, there were like 300 of them and they defeated the Midianites. And this whole idea, he's trying to draw a picture that in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of everything going wrong, in the midst of all the things going bad for us, God is at work and he's doing something so profound. And I think for so many of us, when we look at a time like this, we should rejoice. We should be like, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be awesome. But it's amazing the amount of people at Christmas who are in despair. They're just in despair. They're in despair because they go, I wish I was further along than I am right now. Like it's like the closing of the year, and you're like, I wish I was further along. For some of us, it's amazing that there are people who feel so alone, that Christmas time kind of brings about this, you just feel lonely. It's the strangest thing. Some people feel the most discouraged. Why? Because you don't have enough money to do and buy and gift the things you want to do and give. You just don't. And then for some of us, this is the most anxious time of the year. Anxious time. Why? Well, because you're going to see family. And you're like, and it's not fun and games, right? And we have a testimony to that. It's not. It's like you're anxious. You're like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Have you ever like started off having like just great anticipation and great faith, and at the end of something, you're like, oh, this was terrible? Maybe it was the beginning of the year. Like you're like, this is going to be great. This is going to be wonderful. I can't imagine what the Jewish people were thinking. I mean, hundreds of years of oppression by different people. People divided up. The temple being like built, torn down. I mean, their sacred spaces wasted. I wonder what they were thinking. Like, have you ever had a moment where you're like, what is going on? I thought this was going to be really great. For example, it reminds me, and this happened 12 years ago, maybe even more, and it just jogged my memory as I thought about it. How many of you would say you're like cruise people? Any cruise people in the house? You're like, we go to cruises. Any cruise? One, two. Others of you are like, no, we're not cruise people. How many beach people? Any beach people? Okay, this is a beach people service. Okay, got it. I got that now. Okay, so I was like, man, no one goes to cruises. So I went on a cruise. I went on a cruise once, and it was the one and only cruise that we went on. It was about 12 years ago, and we were pretty excited about the cruise. It was awesome. Asher was I don't even know how old he was. He was almost one or something like that. All I remember in this thing is that we walked up and we were all excited because we weren't even paying for this cruise. We were not paying for this cruise. And so my father-in-law was paying for this cruise. I was excited about it. We left from Charleston. It was going to be great. Mexico, all those good things. We got there and they would not let Asher check into childcare. Because of an age cutoff thing. So we're like, oh no. Now, not that we don't love our kids, but friends, come on. This is a cruise, this is vacation. So we're like, oh no, we're gonna have to babysit him the entire trip. So we're like, okay, that's all right. That's okay, we figured this out. Some of you parents are like, you're a terrible parent, whatever, okay? First of all, you don't have any kids, so shut it, okay? So we're like, okay, that's all right, okay? So first day, we're like, we'll figure out this whole situation. We'll have alone time. We'll have good times. It's okay. So that same day, I jump in the pool. First thing that happens when I jump in the pool, I used to wear contacts back in the day. My contact floats out, one of the contacts, floats out into the abyss of the pool. I kid you not. I don't have any spare contacts. Wonderful. That's beautiful. So now, the first day has happened. We don't have childcare. I am now blind in one eye. And I am seriously blind. I got LASIK done. Thank you, Jesus. But anyways, so one contact is gone. Now I'm wearing glasses. I am wearing glasses on a cruise ship. Ridiculous. Anyways, okay? Then, I kid you not. Then, a couple of days into it, we haven't seen my father-in-law all day. And so we go to his room. And he is sitting there, his part of his face is drooping. He had somewhat of a stroke, didn't tell us. He had like Bell's palsy stroke. It was so serious, they did not let him on the, they would not keep him on the ship. So in the middle of our vacation, when they docked the ship, they put him on something and sent him. They're like, we can't have him on the ship. We're like, okay, so, all right, okay. So all of these things are happening. The next thing that happened, this is all one trip, friends. The next thing that happened is my sister-in-law, who was there as well, got like food poisoning or something like that. That same night, they send my father-in-law off. We're trying to find her. We see her. They are rolling her into like their hospital unit, whatever. And I'm like, what is going on here? Okay, we have our niece there who was supposed to babysit, but she was a teenager back then. And guess where she was? Nowhere to be found. So now we are in the, we're the last day of the trip, and we're having dinner, and we start off all eating together, and the last day, it's just me and Ashley and Asher. No one else is there. And we just look, and Ashley starts, no, Asher starts crying. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the trip from hell. And then all of a sudden, Ashley starts crying. And I'm like, oh no, no. I look at her and go, hun, there can be only one pick. Someone has to stop crying. Like, we cannot do this. Finally, the dreaded trip is over. We get home back to Charleston. We're waiting around. Our ride forgets to pick us up. We are there for another edition. We are the last people. When I mean last, there's no one. I think that the ship left. Like, it's just like we're it. There's no one there. 2 hours later, the ride shows up or something crazy like that. We get there, and I go, oh, you forgot. That's wonderful. Okay. And then we were about to leave and launch this church, and there was a critical person on staff who had agreed to come and launch Mosaic with us. This is back in the day, right? So they're like, hey, have you heard? We're like, heard what? We just, you know, we were on the ship, so we don't know. The person who was going to launch with us got arrested. Got arrested. It's in the papers. And I was like, oh, this is wonderful. This is like great. This is amazing. So ever since then, we have never been on a cruise ever again. We've just never been. Never been. So why'd I tell you this story? I tell you this story is because I think for some of us, like when you think of Christmas, when you think of what God is doing in your life, you might just be over the whole idea of like, hey, it's going to be good. Life's going to be good. You might be just over the fact that maybe that God is working in your life. Maybe when you read the Christmas story, when you read this, you go, you know, this is all lovely, but I don't know if this is going to work. I wish there was a way to go, hey, let's sit down and figure out what God is doing in your life and how you can just keep on believing and have the joy that God has put in your life and believe the promises he's given you. But I don't know if I can do that. So what is the solution, right? What's the answer? I think for so many of us, we look at our lives and we go, you know what? I remember the good old days. I remember what like it used to be. And here's what I want you to know. The possibility of great joy, does not lie in your past. It lies in your future. The possibility of great joy for you, it does not lie in your past. It lies in your future. And what that means is that as you look at what's in your life, what's happening in your life, it is so easy for us to go, well, I just want to go back to what it was. Friends, your life is going to be great, but it requires us to do a couple of things. Let me give you a couple of quick things to do, okay? And I made them memorable so you guys can recall them easily. First, you have to remember the past. And what I mean by that is not like dwell on it. Remember the past, where God has been faithful in your life. This is what the Jewish people had to do continually. They had to remember the past. God has worked on your behalf, on your marriage, on your kids, on your finances before. Remember the past. Then you need to reflect on the present. Reflect on the fact that you're in this moment. So many of us, for so many of us, the season is going so fast. I mean, 2017 went so quick. An easy way to lose your joy is to speed through life. I mean, honestly, the peace in your life is directly connected to the pace of your life. And if you have moments where you stop and reflect, and some say it's counting your blessings, right? But you and I have to remember our past. We have to reflect on the present, and then we have to remain focused on the future. You have to remain focused on the future. Because if you don't do that, you find yourself back in the past and you just want to go back to where it was. The reality is that God wants to move us forward. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that wherever you are at, how close you are in stopping, quitting, and believing. I don't know where your joy level is, but I'm going to ask God to just be with you in this season and allow you to just remember, reflect, remain. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for this morning. God, thank you that in moments like this, in the busyness of life, that we can create a moment where we can just be at peace. And we could be in joy, that we could be in a place where we can just breathe a little bit of your presence, that God, we can remember what you've done in our past and how you are in our future. God, I thank you for this passage where that's part of this Christmas narrative that talks about how when the angel came, he said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you great tidings of great joy." God, I thank you for that. I thank you that, God, you are going to do a work in us and you're committed to do a work in us. God, I pray that you give us the power not to quit, not to give up. As we go light candles, as we go receive communion, as we go to the cross, may we remind ourselves of who you are and how committed you are to us. God, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Hey, let's stand and worship.